Hello, my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, joined today with Adam, Martin, Soka.
You almost had it. You almost had it. You know, you were making progress. I do think this is a step backwards from your previous guess.
Okay, so we went from Matthew to Martin. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're just doing M names? Is that
yeah.
the...
Okay. Yeah.
He's trying to guess my middle name. He knows it's an
M. I love
it. Mildred was 2 weeks ago. And I told him that that's a great way to make sure the shtick never ends. But he went with Mitchell? No, he went with Matthew last time.
And, also, now I can't guess Mitchell because I know that's not one of them. Maybe that's your other brother's middle name. Oh, tip.
There we go.
It totally is.
All right. That's funny. All right. So it's Matthew and it's Mitchell. All right. We'll figure it out. We're also joined today with Caleb Sullivan. What's your middle name, Caleb? Do you have one?
It is also an M name. Ooh, y'all want to give it a first guess, or you just want me
well,
to lay out
Mildred? Thing. One thing I will say is if it's the same as Adam's, he's not allowed to tell, because otherwise you ruin this whole shtick. And then I got to come up with a different intro. Yeah. But yeah, go for it.
And it could be Adam's middle name, because I think it would flow really well. So my middle name is Michael. So Caleb Michael Sullivan. Now I could see Adam Michael Stoker.
Interesting.
I think that's what it is.
I think we hit it. I think we figured it out.
Look
Adam,
at his
did we figure it out?
We figured out yours for sure.
So we're making progress somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tune in next week to find out if this really is. This is compelling listenership, guys. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't wait till we get to the shtick of me guessing Stuart's middle name, and I'm just going to come up with the wildest British names I can find.
Is his middle name not news? Stu's News Butler?
Stu's News Butler. That's funny. My middle name is pretty British, I will say. Very, 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 very
Constable.
Yes, that well-known middle name, Constable. Oh, man. I don't. This is late on a Friday, and I think we're all got a little case of the silly gooses today.
Absolutely.
That's right. You know what else is silly, though?
You have ruined my day. Can I tell you that? You've ruined my... Okay. And I'm sorry to interrupt your segue, because you had a really good segue going
there. Yeah, I was.
You told me about Claude Cowork. We recorded 3 hours ago and we talked about Claude
Cowork.
You've
done nothing but that since, right?
Do you know how much I've gotten done in the last 3 hours?
Yes. It's insane.
It's insane. It's insane. I installed the Chrome extension, which obviously you have to if you're going to use it.
Yeah.
And then I've just been giving it tasks, and it's gotten... I've been so productive in the last 3 hours. It's been amazing.
You're welcome. That's great.
Thank you.
That's a great payoff. Yeah. And if you get really, really kind of saucy with this, you can start using Claude Code as well. And that's gonna open your mind. I just had a conversation earlier today with Jeanette Roush at Brand USA, and she was showing a group of us how she's using Claude Code. And man, I've got to get into that too. So I think we're on the precipice of the new era of workflow. So go listen to last week's episodes if you haven't heard my soapbox on Claude Cowork. All right, but as I was saying, we want to hear some silly. There's nothing sillier.
Here we go. Then seeing Caleb dance and listening to the song.
That's right. There's no sound, Adam. You
There's
messed
no
it up.
Sound, but I'm just
no,
dancing.
No, that's terrible. Okay, please hold.
Every time
here
you do
go.
That, a baby dies, just so you know. It's like, this is...
What an awful thing to say.
Yeah. No, it's you're killing babies.
No pressure. No pressure, Adam.
What'd you say? Hold on. What'd you say, Stuart?
I mean, you're killing babies. That's what's happening. Oh, you're trying to drown me out.
Okay. I kind of want to have clips of Caleb dancing to nothing. That's even better than him dancing to the jingle.
He's like doing the airplane.
It's because I hear it in my head. Like, of course, I was listening to the show, you know, today on my walk, as I always do. So I already heard it today, and I love it. So it's always in there. I dream the jingle.
You dream the jingle.
I love it.
I don't know if I'd tell too many people about that. All right. Adam, you said you were going to do Stu's News today. So
yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's actually, I just wanted to let everybody in the industry know that there is a new podcast in the space, if you haven't heard it. And I had the amazing opportunity to be a guest on that show. And they really said, when they invited me to come on that show that we're going in order of importance in the industry. And I was like, oh man, so when did Stuart come on? And they said, well, there's a few more people on the list before we get to Stuart. And, you know, I don't know that I totally agreed with them, but it was a great show and I really appreciated the opportunity to be on.
Yeah. Well, that I we're
do you
getting
want to
there,
actually tell the audience what the show was?
I'm kind of getting
like it's coming
out of the way it is now. So Caleb, you should tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I host a travel and tourism podcast called Give Me Some Good News. And it kind of just came out of these phone conversations I've been having with a friend of mine for a long time about the travel and tourism space and about destination marketing. And so we're like, hey, we should like record these and turn them into a podcast. But me being me, I was like nervous to do it. And then Adam, funny enough, actually gave, and I talked about this on the episode we did, but he gave me two pieces of advice that really stuck, and it all kind of boiled down to just like getting it done and like putting yourself mm-hmm. out there and trying. And so we're on Spotify because I can't figure anything else out. I'm still learning.
I'll help you, Caleb.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. So if you guys want to listen, it's Give Me Some Good News on Spotify, and it's a great time. We've had influencers on. We've had travel and tourism.
Oh, wait. So Adam wasn't your first guest because
he was
been bragging to everyone. Okay, so he's not the most.
I was working up to Adam, and okay. So you know we finally have like a system down, and it's just a really good time. But what we want to do is, you know, destination discourse is great for kind of uncovering what's needed in the industry. I would say it's a true safe space to discuss value adds and thought provoking. What I want to do with our podcast is make it just a positive place to kind of share the good news that's happening in the industry. And that's kind of how we've spun it. So feel free to give it a listen. And we'd love to have you over there checking out the podcast.
So full disclosure, I haven't heard it yet, right? And I might not, because I might have to boycott because you invited Adam before you invited me, and I'm going to be forever salty about
that. Their
most
recent episode is so good.
But what can you give the audience a little bit of what are the kinds of good news, like examples of the kinds of good news you're sharing?
Yeah, everything from someone's career growth and development and journey. So kind of how to navigate growing your career in our space to what is a really cool campaign that your DMO has run that you're proud of that you want to highlight.
Okay, cool.
And so it really kind of runs the gambit. We try to leave it a little more open-ended so that way we can get different perspectives. Like we had Christina Riley, who's a North Carolina-based travel influencer on to kind of talk about what the influencer space looks like and how she worked with DMOs. And so it is a little more open-ended, but you know, it's all about positivity. And you know, I've been told I'm a ray of sunshine, so I like bringing that to other people too. Yeah,
that's very true, Caleb. You are always smiling and always seem happy, even when you have two young children and have sleep deprivation. You're still on your A game.
Yeah, that's no sleep cool. For this guy.
That's amazing. Tell us one more time what the name of the podcast is.
Yeah, it's Give Me Some Good News on Spotify.
Awesome. Thank you for bringing that. Still salty, but that's okay.
We'll get you on there, Stuart. You come on over anytime, buddy.
It's a boycott now. I'll come on your 100th episode. How about that?
Sounds good. Oh, man. I've got a long way to go.
Leave it to Stuart to say, but if I do come on, it's only going to be this crazy significant milestone because that's what I deserve. You know,
that's who I am, man.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. You do deserve that, Stuart.
I mean, we all know that you just started the podcast to be able to get me on it. So, you know, I'm just going to let you work for it for a little while. It's fine.
You know? That's all right.
the level
let
of
us,
narcissism
let us earn your,
is
yeah.
fantastic there.
Oh, jeez.
That's funny. And Caleb, so you've been on the show a couple of times now. This is the third time on the show?
This is the third time.
Okay. Yeah, we're glad you're back. You're often in the comments on a lot of episodes. So I think you're vying for top Desti spot with Nate, right? And so
– yep.
I think we love everything you have to say. This one honestly surprised me a little bit when we asked you. You know, you said you wanted to come back on and had a topic. I got to tell you, I wasn't expecting this topic. So you want to share your thesis a little bit and share with the destination what it is?
Yeah. So, you know, I have worked in what I would call like the holy trinity of DMO land, right? So I've worked for a destination for 4 years, a small destination here in North Carolina. I've also served in media sales, so during my time at Carvertise, and I've also worked in an agency. And so because of this, I've had the opportunity to really see campaigns come to fruition. I've been able to work at a DMO to try my best to drum up demand. And it's just kind of weird the way the world works sometimes. Sometimes the stars align perfectly and something falls in your lap that you just are like, man, this would be great to do for DMOs. And so what kicked it off was, I'm scrolling my feed the end of last year, and I keep seeing all these memes about like PTO maxing, right? Like how to turn X amount of days in PTO into like 45 or 50 days of PTO. And it all kind of came to a head when I saw a Forbes article that was titled Maximizing PTO in 2026, How to Turn 14 Days into 46 Vacation Days. And I'm like, okay, well, if it's not just a meme thing, if Forbes is actually posting about this, how can we as destination marketers turn this into true demand generation as a DMO? And so, for me, I was like, man, this is really neat. So I posted an article. So Contiki, who's like a tour operator for millennials. If you've ever watched Wheel of Fortune, I know Stuart, you guys have been on Wheel. I'm a big Wheel watcher, and they actually have promoted Contiki before. So anyway, that's how I knew who they were. They actually posted a calendar on LinkedIn about this and actually had like the dates lined out. And so I shared it on LinkedIn, and I got a lot of traction from it and folks reaching out to me thinking it was a cool idea. And it again just kind of got me thinking, like, what are DMOs doing? If we have Forbes writing about this, if we have different like HR and like memes, coming out from businesses on Instagram about this, how are DMOs kind of harnessing this golden opportunity that the universe has given us to truly generate demand in 2026? And so I truly believe with all of this, we're kind of entering this year of PTO optimization, right? Travelers are really, they're trying to figure out where to go and how to maximize that time off. And I think it's a really good opportunity for us to feed to that demand, and actually turn it into heads and beds, for our destination. So, yeah, it's again, it's a golden opportunity that the universe kind of gave us here. And, with all the wild things going on in the travel landscape, we might have a layup here.
All right, so let me ask you this because I haven't read the original article, but can you give it as an insight into what are the kind of things they're suggesting you do in order to turn the 16 days into 46 or whatever it was?
Yes. So the way that they're suggesting it is, and unfortunately, we're recording this in March, probably got a little later, but take President's Day, for example. Like, say you have President's Day off, taking that Friday off and going through a long weekend, things like Juneteenth, things like 4th of July. So
Right.
the way that a lot of these holidays have lined up this year that aren't even based on specific days of the week, they've kind of lined up on like weekend bookend days. So like maybe you take an extra Monday and the holidays on a Tuesday or Thursday to Friday. So that's kind of how it's being positioned.
Got it. So strategic placement based on days you're already having off. So like you take 2 days off on a long weekend and now you've essentially got a 5 day vacation is what it's suggesting. Okay, that's interesting. So what is your sort of prescription for folks? Like how to capitalize on this? Do you think we should be writing similar articles to say like to tailor it to our destination? Hey, turn your PTO into a 5 day, 2 days of vacation into 5 days in Myrtle Beach, or is it more, hey, we know you're going to be traveling more. Let's just target those time frames more. Like what, how do we actually put this into action?
It's kind of a combination of both. So the way I look at it is you've got this time. How do we turn that into actual demand generation? So the way I kind of look at this is let's kind of pitch this as, first of all, I'm going to take a couple of steps back. When I think about my time at the DMO, one of the key pillars we were always trying to focus on is was our shoulder season, right? And so we were constantly we coined it, and I think it is still coined here in Jackson County, our secret season, right? Like it's a great time to visit, rates are lower, things like that. And so we'd always push that kind of potential demand generation. What we have here now, in my opinion, is a true micro seasonality opportunity, is what I'm calling it. So we can actually take this time frame and drive it as its own campaign. And so obviously, we're always trying to kind of look at, off-peak travel windows and growing that. Well, how about we capitalize on these additional days in a creative way? So I think from the DMO's perspective, some DMOs have events and some don't. And some destinations have events that happen, that drive demand no matter what. So how can we actually capitalize on these time frames in similar ways and turn it into an event that you wouldn't want to miss? So could it be, we in previous episodes have talked about Las Vegas and how they try to drive demand by, giving like rate discounts and things like that. But what can we do as DMOs is kind of the question. Like I'm trying to figure out, has anyone thought about this? Has anyone looked at this? And what are other people doing? And maybe just spark a conversation.
Adam, you have any questions or take on this?
Well, first of all, these are the kinds of insights, Caleb, that I think are really critical for destinations to understand how to differentiate themselves a little bit. The challenge with it is you're not truly differentiating if every destination can offer an answer for this PTO maxing. The difference is not everybody's going to recognize this insight. It's a lot like the 18 Summers campaign that we've talked about multiple
Yes.
times on this show, where you could have spent your 18 summers with your kids anywhere. You can be a good dad anywhere. However, Idaho capitalized on that creative insight that made it feel like that could only happen in Idaho, right? And I think that we're dealing with a similar insight here. I can't say that I feel like it's going to be as impactful as the 18 Summers campaign was, but the opportunity, I think, for DMOs is when there's insights like this and you recognize a possible demand driver, which I think maximizing your PTO can absolutely be considered a demand driver, right? So the problem with that is if you say, take your long weekend in Myrtle Beach, well, that's not terribly unique. And so I would almost say the Forbes article is a great starting point for destinations to say, I want to give you some value, and the value I'm going to give you is a clear how-to of how to maximize your PTO opportunities. And then I'm going to connect that to here's how you can spend those 45 days in Myrtle Beach. And we've actually put together a plan, an itinerary of what you guys should do, what the events are that coordinate with these PTO days, and build a calendar that if you're going to maximize your PTO, here's how we're going to plan it for you in Myrtle Beach. And I think connecting the education from the insight and then connecting that to the experience that they're going to have, that's kind of the sweet spot where I think destinations could really capitalize on this opportunity.
Yeah, and Stuart, going back to your point of actual, like, what is the actual execution of this? I like the idea of using social media, possibly as more of an actual, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Using it more as a itinerary driver. So, hey, this is the best time to visit. This is the best way to visit. And using it more as like an itinerary as opposed to just being inspiration, inspiration, inspiration. So actually have a call to action of this is where you can visit on these days, maximizing your PTO this way. I think that's a great opportunity for DMOs right now.
It's hyper granular though. Like I'm gonna push back a little bit, right? Because
Sure.
we've been talking about how we want to have a little more discourse on this. So I'm sort of gonna play with this idea a little bit and see if I can prod it a little bit. So we recently were talking about certain deals and demand for certain deals in our destination. And you can see things crop up on search engines or on certain pages on our site where there's certain times of the year where people are looking for a specific deal. Like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, like people are actually go to Google and say Black Friday deals for Myrtle Beach and stuff like that. We've been working with a lot of our hotels over the years to create deals for certain holidays and certain things, and then we would push them out on social media or in our paid media. And over time, they were sort of seeing less and less traffic. So we sort of started reevaluating that and looking at, well, how is consumers actually thinking about this? There's very little traffic for people looking for things like President's Day's deals or Valentine's Day's hotel deals in Myrtle Beach and stuff like that. So we're sort of backing away from how we sort of frame and push deals. So my fear and what you're suggesting, the sort of first way you presented this is, I'd be having to spend a lot of money to get awareness and attention around a very granular, targeted opportunity that is going to be irrelevant to maybe the vast majority of that audience that would get it, right? Because there's no insight I have to say, okay, Caleb is someone that specifically is doing this kind of tactic of PTO hacking, and therefore he's got a high propensity to want this kind of President's Day or Thanksgiving, whatever thing. So it's sort of like a needle in a haystack approach doing it that way, right? So
Sure.
that would concern me. But what Adam just said about like sort of taking the concept of what Forbes is doing, and Forbes is using educational content to try to get attention, right? It's not actually selling someone, it's just trying to do something that's relevant, valuable in the helpful sense. So if we sort of put on our destination is a citizen of the world hat, then that kind of approach makes more sense, because now I'm building relationships with people by providing them life advice or hacks or interesting content that ultimately is a soft sell to a hard sell. Because if Forbes actually sold vacations, right? They do this hook, which was, hey, here's a way to hack my PTO and get more vacation days. That's interesting. You got my attention. They read that, but then there's no call to action at the end. Whereas what a destination can do is actually fulfill on the promise. Hey, here's the education. You read it. People will go, oh yeah, I need to do that. Then you sort of deliver on the, and if you want to do that, here's a frictionless way to actually go transact and book and come
Yeah.
stay in Myrtle Beach. Does that
And I
make
think
sense?
that's key. Yeah. And what I'm pitching here is not necessarily lower rates, pitch out a deal. It's more of like we have a time to actually, yeah, educate and have a CTA. So I agree with what you're saying. Like I think that's the approach. So whether it's through social media content, blog post articles, however you're pushing, whatever tactic you're using to push out that information, be pitching it in a way of like, hey, fun fact, this is the year of PTO. Here's how you can use it. And oh, by the way, here's where you can do it in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'd probably have to think about how do I filter self-select, get people to self-select into this, right? Because again, I think we're targeting needle in a haystack a little bit. Might be wrong there because I'm an old dude and I don't think like you millennials and younger do. But,
You've got a point.
yes, thank you. There it is. But I don't see myself spending paid media to go fishing for these people. I'd rather throw a free hook out there, like in the form of content that's being pushed out organically on social, and seeing if I get bites, and then spending the time and energy on the backside to actually get them landed once they're hooked, you know?
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I that's a joke for those that have listened to our previous episode. That's a little teaser for the episode that already happened. So I want to address this, because Stuart, I think you're very correct on how you're thinking about this, especially as it relates to paid media. I would not run a paid media campaign saying, here's how to maximize your PTO. What I would do is provide educational content and put some continuous content out there. And then if I can get somebody to come, or even if I can have some creators come into town during one of those extra long weekends or whatever, now how do I get them to tease what's happening in these other long weekends that are coming later in the year, so that if somebody has been engaged with that content, we're kind of bringing them along throughout the year, where maybe if they didn't come at the beginning of the year, maybe they plan a trip for one of these other long weekends that are happening later. But I really like it as a content category, because when we talk about value, people want more value than just that you paid to be in front of them, right? And usually that value comes in the form of either education or entertainment. I would put this in the education category, because most people don't know that they can turn 14 days into 45 days. And the people that will speak to I think there's a content funnel to put people into, and I know Stuart loves funnels, so he's going to get really excited that I said it. But there's a way to take that and find who's interested without spending a ton of money, and then helping leverage that into visitation over time through content.
Yeah, and I agree. And I was just saying, what inspired this for me was actually the 18 Summers campaign. I thought they are using the most precious resource that we have as humans, time. They're tapping into a fundamentally human emotion of, wanting to be with your family, and that they're not saying necessarily, they're stating a fact. You have 18 summers to enjoy with your family, but at the same time, on this side, it's, hey, here's an opportunity for you to have more time to enjoy. So it is, in my opinion, what you're selling here is the concept of time. And oh, by the way, the CTA has come visit us. And I think any content around that would be good. And I don't think it should, by the way, I should probably make this clear. I don't think that there should be like a big paid media push. I do agree, Stuart. I think fundamentally this is an organic push. Maybe see if you want to put dollars behind it or how you want to spend it from there once you see how it performs. But at the end of the day, I think time being the most precious resource that we have as humans and that emotional connectivity that you can make with it in your destination is always a good play whenever you're marketing a destination.
And I think there's opportunities through programming and through itinerary building to sort of capitalize on this and go actually find the audience that you're looking for. Because I would imagine there's Reddit, there's subreddits, there's articles like this where there's comment opportunities. There's probably communities that exist that live to do the life hack kind of stuff or the optimizing the life kind of stuff. And so, like finding out where those communities are and then sort of bringing yourself into those conversations in an organic, natural way, without being too salesy or too obvious about it. I think there's probably an opportunity there. It also makes me think about, okay, regardless of the sort of this specific idea of hacking your PTO, I think there probably is going to be a trend. We're seeing the data suggest that the concept of a family taking a 1 2-week vacation a year in the middle of summer is beginning to be displaced by this concept of taking micro vacations throughout the year, right? That seems to be a trend, especially for younger generations. And so I think that's got to shift how we think about promotion and how we think about programming in general. And how can we capitalize, especially in the off season, to get people to come to our destination? And it sort of reminds me of, this is a very early episode. We talked about Greenville, South Carolina, that did their Home Alone campaign, where they sort of offered an experience for people where they could ride in a limo with a pizza and have ice cream and do all this stuff. And it was very wrapped in this concept of nostalgia of the movie Home Alone. And they sold out, right? But they're creating a unique experience that's like not at a traditional time of year for their destination. So part of me wonders if, the DMO role moving forward is becoming more of a curator of experiences, either directly or indirectly. And we talked a little bit recently with Christian Mingle about that, where he was sort of pontificating around should the DMO create like tours and stuff like that in the destination. And I don't think that's necessarily the role of the DMO, but maybe working with our partners to create curated experiences is a part of how we can drive demand. And then I'll let you jump in a sec, but the final thing I'll say is we've seen this in our own market, and we take no credit for this because it wasn't us at all. But Conway, which is a small town about 30 minutes from Myrtle Beach, it's inland. It's sort of the town you go through on the way to Myrtle Beach. Hasn't ever really been a destination in and of itself. They tried for years to sort of be a little holiday, cute holiday town around Christmas and couldn't really get above the noise. Like it was always a lot of other folks competing for attention. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, someone at the city actually said, we're going to own Halloween instead. And so they started kind of small. The city folks started building little experiences around Halloween themed haunted experiences in and around their town hall. And then they gradually expanded it down the high street. And then they got to a point after 3 or 4 years where they actually renamed the town for the month of October to the town of Halloween. to get the earned media. And now it's like a fully integrated, full experience across the entire community where all the businesses are in it on it, the number of experiences, the trails that you can do, the haunted houses have created so much gravity that they had 250,000 people go through their experiences in the month of October last year. And this is a town of like 20,000 people, you know? So it's now the place everyone from Myrtle Beach and everyone that's visiting Myrtle Beach goes during October. And they've just created this organically with not a lot of investment and not a lot of advertising, but they've created the experience that's created the phenomenal demand. And it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
That's how it starts, right? Like you try something small and you see if it works, and if it works, you double down, and maybe it gets a little bigger and a little bigger, and before you know it, you've renamed your town in the month of October to Halloween. I think that's such a great example of being creative and punching above your weight class. And I think the from a, you know, PTO hacking perspective, I think there's a lot of opportunities similar to what Conway did, where you could test the idea. Does this resonate with people? Do we get people to come down here as a result of our efforts? And if we do, how do we double down next year? Does it, again, if we're using Myrtle Beach as the example, does Myrtle Beach, if they got a lot of additional visitation from some content that they put out this year, do they have just an annual calendar that they've completely doubled down on for next year so that all the PTO hackers know that this is the safe haven for PTO hackers? I don't know. I think these ideas, and again, I don't want to get so narrowed in. I think we need to zoom out a little bit. I don't want to get so narrowed in on the PTO hacking idea. I think it's insights like this that we need to test and dip our toe into and maybe create a small experience or some content around it or whatever. Test it and then double down and double down and double down, because Stuart, you've really changed my paradigm on this show when you said that the one thing destinations are going to be able to control is experiences. And you know, the differentiator is an experience you can't get anywhere else. And so if you on these types of insights can create experiences that are branded specifically to that destination, like Conway did, I think that's the real opportunity for differentiation for a lot of these destinations that are struggling to find it.
Yeah, and Adam, you and I talked about this on our pod or on the podcast we did on Give Me Some Good News, and I've, you know, niches get riches, right? Like if you're trying to compete, you know, Conway's a good example. Conway is not going to compete with Myrtle Beach. Like that's just not going to happen. They're two different comp sets, they're two different cities. And I think what they've done with Halloween is finding a niche and really leaning into it and making that their thing. And so, yeah, to your point, Adam, like it is a good idea to just kind of zoom out here and think about how are we embracing what makes us unique, or how are we finding a thing and using that to generate demand? And I think that's a part of the bigger conversation. And Stuart, to your point a little earlier, you know, you were talking about how demand is shifting from like this 1 or 2 week vacation in one destination to these little like smaller destinations throughout the year. You know, is micro seasonality a new battleground that we need to start really testing? Do we need to really start diving into our data? And if there is this shift, again, how do we use that data to create content that's relevant to an audience that is spending money in destination or a potential audience that could be spending more money in destination? So, you know, I think again, this idea of, and I know we've talked about this before, Adam, you and I, and in general, I have this conversation, but the idea of being a pretty beach or being a pretty mountain town or, you know, being anywhere USA is dead. And at the end of the day, we need to find what makes us unique or to develop something that's going to make us unique to bring in that demand and to grow our tourism economies throughout the town that we serve.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of ways I look at that, right? Because what Conway's done is, and it took him a while. It took him like 4 years to get traction and become a quote unquote overnight success. The first 3 or 4 years probably weren't that successful, but they kept at it. So they had a vision and they had the stick-to-itiveness to actually see that through, and they had that North Star that guided them. I think a lot of people would have probably given up in year one or two when folks didn't show up, right? So I think that's one thing. We got to start thinking longer term and be committed to what we're doing. But I also think we don't necessarily have to be one-dimensional. Like what Conway's doing is interesting, is they're parlaying the success in Halloween to now go revisit what they originally tried, which was Christmas. And now they're trying to position themselves as the holiday town to come and visit for every major holiday, whether that be Halloween, whether that be Valentine's Day, or whether that be Christmas. And now they're getting a lot more traction with the other holidays because they've earned the right and they've gotten permission to do that because of the success they had on that one thing. So I think you always need to be thinking about how do you leverage that one success into others. But I also think we're in a world where there's so much more fragmentation of the consumer and their expectations and their interests now. So I don't think you can, Conway's unique because it wasn't known as a tourist destination. But if you're already a tourist destination, it'll be really hard to lean into that one shtick. You got to probably do 5 or 6 or 7 or 20 shticks at the same time to multiple audiences, which that's when it gets diluted and that's when it becomes a challenge. Because what Conway did could be emulated by a lot of places, but it would be done like half-assed, right? It wouldn't be nearly as compelling, and then it wouldn't work. And so you sort of risk losing the battle by not fully committing.
But that's where you really have to have a solid understanding of your brand, right? Because there are experiences that you're going to try to create if you go this route that really aren't on brand and aren't worth trying to create. I think the reason Conway was able to make this successful, like you mentioned, Stuart, there's the focus aspect, but they also made it a part of their overarching brand. And if I was going to create multiple experiences throughout a year or something like that, that's great. But it's got to match the brand so that they can all tie together. There's got to be a glue that ties them together in some way, shape, or form. And so I think you're right. I think the way this spins out of control is just creating random experiences. You've got the goth event one weekend, and then you've got the, princess parties the next weekend. Like you got to figure out how to make sure that everything stays on brand. Stuart, I know you've been to a lot of princess parties. Tell me a little bit about how that fits. Okay, I'll wrap that up. That was my best give you a hard time
I was going to
for
actually
that.
make a joke about that being your social calendar, like the goth party one week, the princess party the next. So you beat me to the punch.
No, I love it, but I again, I think when we look at a destination as a whole and we look at our audience as a whole, we want to make sure that we're serving both. And any opportunity to drive that demand, whether it be a specific campaign, whether it be something like this golden opportunity with PTO hacking, or whether it be, some event that you want, like your destination to be known for, I think is key. And Adam, you bring up a good point. Like you have to know your brand, and your brand is not your logo. And so I think really diving into your brand and being comfortable with that and saying yes to things that make sense and saying no to things that don't, is really going to be key.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the way I try to think about that when people are trying to, like, if you try to articulate what is the brand in this context specifically, I try to articulate it as like if it was a person, what's the personality? And if we're trying to see would they go to that event or not, then that's sort of your litmus test as to whether it's a good fit or not. Personification of the brand is often a useful rubric there.
And I also think brand is kind of like your character. Like brand is the thing that people say about you when you're not in the room. And so how do you leverage that and be tell it in an authentic way is really key.
Totally good. Well, this is a great conversation, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully, we've given some folks some ideas today. But Caleb, I know we've gotten in trouble on the show before for letting people do announcements, but I really don't care. It's not like our sponsors are going to boycott us because we don't have any. But you just made another change, right?
Yeah, I did.
Want to share a little bit about where you're at now?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I've been in this industry now my entire career, and one of the things that really sticks out to me is I have this passion for being a destination problem solver. And so I've made a shift here to really kind of step into a role that allows me to do that at a broader scale. So, I'll be stepping into a new role with Datafi, actually leading their growth strategy for the East Coast. Kind of teeing up our conversation today, how do we use the most accurate data set that we can find to actually create campaigns that are relevant to that audience. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'm interested to kind of carry that torch and to keep helping destinations in any way that I can.
That's awesome, man. Well, congrats. That's exciting. How's the new baby?
She's great. She's at the time of recording, 2.5 weeks old. And believe it or not, she likes sleeping. So I'm gonna count my blessings there.
For
I do
now,
not take, yeah, for now, all right. And then the regression comes and we'll see. So, but yeah, it's been a great time.
And how's your other little monkey dealing with the new one coming along?
He loves it. He is Mr. Big Brother. He loves hugging her. He says, "Hey, that's sissy." And I mean, it's y'all, my heart is just melted. It is just a puddle on the ground at this point.
That's
Life is
awesome,
good,
man.
y'all. Life is good.
Congrats. I'm on the other end of that. I got a senior who's about to graduate high school, so I'm about cusping on empty nesting. Although someone recently told me, don't think about it as empty nesting. Think about it as bird launching. You're sending them out into the world. So I kind of
That's it,
like that.
man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good luck. It'll be a fun journey. Well, Caleb, if someone wants to get a hold of you, find you, learn more about your new gig, where can they do that?
Yeah, you can always find me on LinkedIn, and then obviously you can listen into some of these conversations on Give Me Some Good News, our podcast. But another thing that I do that's kind of off to the side is I have a Substack called Caleb Talks Tourism. So you can also find me on Substack if you want to hear my thoughts on the tourism economy. So find me there, and I'm always happy to chat.
Awesome. And you'll find him grinning at any conference near you because he's always grinning from ear to ear when I see him.
Yeah, I'll come up and give anyone a hug. So feel free to come say hi, and I'm always happy to chat.
Nice. And Adam, what about you, sir?
Well, first of all, I just want to call back to
No, I'm
Caleb's
asking if you're
show.
willing to give anyone a hug. That was the question.
You should have never introduced me to Claude Code, Stuart. So I am more than willing to give certain people a hug.
Okay.
It's fair.
Well, when you give away your 100th hug, maybe it can be me. Just like when I go on his 100th
This guy.
episode.
You know what, Stuart? You can be my 100th hug. I'm gonna
Okay.
allow it.
All right, going. I dream of the day. Where can they find you, Adam?
So, I wanted to tell Caleb, congrats on the new show. Congrats on the new gig. I'm excited to see as you
Not the
continue
new
to.
baby?
Well, of course, I'm happy for the new baby. You
Okay.
know,
It's
really excited.
just weird. Someone had a baby 2.5 weeks
See,
ago and you don't
yeah.
congratulate them for it. That's just a
Well,
bit
but you
weird,
got to
man.
understand, Stuart, for me, it's old news because we talked about it on the
Talked about
previous
it.
conversation. I know this is a first for you, right? And I understand that,
texted me about it. I mean, yeah. But I can
appreciate that you do feel left out. So I want you to be able to hear me say to Caleb for the second time, I'm really excited for you as a
Nice.
new dad.
Touche.
Thank you. Thank you.
Big touche. That's good.
But yeah, I actually love the new show format. I think the industry needs some good news, and so I'm glad you're doing that. You can find me Adam at thebrandrevolt.com. You can find me on LinkedIn or of course on Tourism IQ.
Awesome. You can find me at stuart.butler@visitmodelbeach.com or you can find me on LinkedIn. And if you go to Spotify, you'll usually find Caleb lurking there and leaving a comment. So feel free
That is very
to
true.
chime in there as well. He likes to comment on that. Hey, Caleb, did you ever weigh in on the temporary jingle that Adam brought, the English rap song?
Yeah, so I'm still catching up on my episodes from paternity leave, but those are the next two. Or is it one or two
Okay.
episodes where we did it? So
It's the
I will
Jason
have an
Hollick
opinion.
episode.
But I can tell you this. I will tell you right now that the Stu's News jingle is an industry institution. So if you change it, I will not be happy. And you will hear about it in the
Mate,
comments.
so you think the jingle gets inducted into the DMO Hall of Fame one day? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, 100%. I will vote
Okay.
for it.
That's amazing. Oh, guys, this is awesome. Thank you, Caleb. Great having you back on the show. I think three, you're tied for the most, maybe with Amir, or I'm not sure. There's a couple have been on three-peats now, so we'll maybe get you on again at some point, and you might be able to get the lead. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Appreciate our destination a great deal. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't tell anyone, but this is my favorite destination marketing podcast, you know.
And we got the ending.
How could you? How could you?
Well, yeah. And again, it was funny. It was like over mine. You know, it's like I look forward to this every week. So it's become a part of my. I do my lunch walks on Thursdays, and I got y'all talking in my ears. So.